Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jalles Machado's conference call to discuss the results of the third quarter of crop year 2021-22. This conference is being recorded, and the audio will be available at the company's website at ri.jallesmachado.com. At the end of the presentation, all participants will be able to participate in the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Should you need assistance during the call, please press star zero. The earnings release and the presentation on the third quarter of crop year 2021-22 can be accessed on the company's IR website. Before proceeding, I would like to mention that any statements that may be made during the conference related to the company's business prospects, forecasts, operating, and financial targets related to the company's growth potential are based on the company's management's expectations about the future of Jalles Machado. Such expectations are highly dependent on domestic and foreign market conditions and national and international economic scenarios, and therefore are subject to change. Today with us is Mr. Rodrigo Penna, CFO and IRO. I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Penna. You may proceed, sir. Good afternoon, everybody. I would like to take this chance to thank you all for your presence. I can see that many people have connected to our conference today to learn more about the progress that Jalles Machado has made. Now, I would like to start on page three of the presentation that we submitted. These are the highlights of 3Q22, which is the third quarter of the crop year 2021-22. We finished our crushing process as per our material fact when we finished our crop year with a total volume that is a little bit above the previous season. We had 2 tons per hectare lower than the previous season, but we had a crop failure of almost 20% in the country, and units that actually exceeded 30%. We believe that we had a very good season in terms of crop failure. Also, we were in line with our guidance, and we had heated prices for both sugar and ethanol. Ethanol reached levels that were surprise to us this quarter, with almost 80% of the price of gasoline. We actually think that was excessively high, and our net income in the third quarter was 235%, and we also had our ratings upgraded by Fitch. Now we are a double A minus company according to Fitch, and we also wanted to increase the liquidity of our stock, and therefore we hired a market maker, BTG Pactual, and we now are participated in new B3 indices, including the IGPTW index, the Great Place to Work index. It is an index that created together with the Great Place to Work initiative. We also continued with our expansion program according to the schedule that we designed. We also made progress in terms of M&A transactions. We still believe that in the third quarter of the crop year, we are probably going to disclose some news about M&A transactions. Now, moving on to slide five of the presentation, I would like to highlight our yield with 200 tons per hectare, and our production mix was virtually in line with the previous year, with 53% ethanol and 46% sugar. In the beginning of the crop year, we believed that the percent of sugar would be higher than that, but it was 53% and 47%. TRS was a little bit better than the previous year with 138, and the average age of sugarcane plantation was also in line with the previous year, 3.3 against 3.4. Now, moving on to slide six, I would like to tell you more about the new crop year, including the expected rainfall. We should remember that the rainy season starts in late September, early October, especially October. We can see here on slide six that we created a chart showing the historical levels in our units. The gray bar shows the average numbers for the previous year and this year. Now, if you look at the blue bars, you can see the average levels for this year, the current year. It should say 2021, January 2022. There's a typo there in the chart. You can see that in all of those months, we had higher rainfall than the same year of the previous year, the same period, same month of the previous year. You can see that we were helped by the heavens with a lot of rain. All reservoirs and rivers and streams, they are now at a very good level, and that is very good. In January, in the first half of January, it rained actually too much, in our opinion. In late December, it was raining a lot, and we didn't have as much sunlight as we desired. In general, we can see that rainfall has been very positive. We still have another 3 months of rain, February, March, and April, and then we are going to get to the end of the rain cycle, which is a great component in the creation of our crops. Of course, rain is not the only element involved. Sunlight is also important, but we always need rain. It is also important to notice that the fields, the sugarcane fields, are very good, although we had more rain than expected. Rain can come in the way of our crops in terms of diseases and pests, but we did a great job in that sense, and the sanitation status of the fields is very good at the moment. In our earnings release and presentation, you can also see some very important details about ESG elements, especially when it comes to the environmental aspect. Here you can see some details about CO2 absorption by Jalles Machado. We absorb more CO2 than we emit. We are not only neutral in terms of carbon emission, but we are negative also. Many companies aim to be carbon neutral, but Jalles Machado, however, is able to absorb CO2. We can absorb more CO2 than the amount of CO2 that we emit. Another important characteristic of our company in comparison with the average in the sector is our RenovaBio score, which allows us to have more CBios per cubic meter of sold ethanol. That happens because our ethanol production is cleaner than the average in the market. because we have over 20,000 hectares of our fields. Almost one-third of our sugarcane fields is organic. And we also replaced part of our fertilizers with vinasse in 80% of our fields, replacing potassium, which is a chemical fertilizer. So that point is extremely important to us. And why am I bringing this information to you this quarter? I'm doing this because we can see an appreciation in CBIO. CBIO used to be below 50 reals, but now it reached 90 reals over the past weeks, over the past 2 or 3 weeks. It reached 90 reals, which is more than $15, which is still low, but we don't expect it to be too high here in Brazil as it is in other countries. But just so you have an idea, the global average is $32, and in California, it is 90. In other places, it can be $75. So, since this is a very important issue for society, I just wanted to highlight this extremely significant factor about Jalles Machado. Now, I would like to talk more about our production and also the commercial factors, and I would like to now address the financial highlights of the third quarter. I would like to highlight some specific points here. First one is revenue. As we said earlier, we had some delays in shipments of organic sugar for export purposes. So organic sugar, because of that, in the first 9 months, accounted for 11% of our revenues. And we can see that exports usually account for more than 20% of our revenue. Of course, the appreciation of ethanol and conventional sugar occupied part of the organic sugar share, but the main point here was delays in shipments. And again, we are going to finish the crop year with 20,000 tons more than the previous year. And over 90% of sugar has been sold, 95% actually, of the organic sugar. And the crop year will go until June. So we still have some delays in shipments, but we are going to finish them until June. And we are going to use 3 months of the next crop year for those purposes. Another point that I would like to mention can be seen on slide 13. Actually, on slide 12, you can see that our revenue was 44% higher year on year, considering the first 9 months of the crop season. And our COGS increased by 13% year on year in the first 9 months of the crop season. And our EBIT was 870 million in the last 12 months against 380 million. So we had a very good LTM EBIT margin. Now, on slide 14, I would like to highlight the impact of costs, of overall costs. If we consider the economic factors and the higher inflation rates, we can see here the impact on the production cost, which has already come to an end. We have already finished our production in the crop year, in the first 9 months of the year. and the rest of the production will be only about packing, sanitizers, and sugar. And the costs incurred in the first 9 months, year on year, the total production costs, including agricultural and industrial costs and also leasing, these costs increase. And I would like to highlight the third part of this chart here. You can see that the impact was 17%, including partnerships, agricultural partnerships. And when you look at the chart on slide 15, in which we're not considering agricultural partnerships, because these partnerships are actually related to the price of ethanol and sugar. And you can see that there was an increase in cost, in production cost, in the first 9 months of the crop year of 13.9%, if you look at the BRL per ton of sugar chart. So that was the impact of costs on our business. And here we are considering the finished products, and the impact was much smaller than the average in the sector. The average in the sector was impacted by more crop failures, and that caused a positive impact on us. And another important point is that since we have an organic field that is very large, in which we don't use chemical fertilizers, and also considering that we made progress in the replacement of chemical fertilizers with vinasse, and also vinasse in our irrigation system, we were able to use a larger area, replacing the costs incurred with chemical fertilizers with products that are byproducts of our production. So the lower crop failures and the lower use of chemical fertilizers and crop protection products helped Jalles Machado to be less impacted by these factors, the cost factors, although the products were 14% more expensive, disregarding the agricultural partnerships. Now, moving on to slide 16, I would like to highlight our EBITDA, which was very strong this quarter, with over 80% in EBITDA margin. And in the last 12 months, the margin was also 80%, which is a record-breaking number for the company. I would also like to mention an important point related to the net income. And I would like to move to slide 19 now. As you know, our sector is seasonal. So in the analysis that I am sure all investors and analysts conduct about Jalles Machado and any company really and any sector, I believe that we should always pay attention to the yearly results. We usually talk about the accumulated results of the crop year and not the quarter itself, because we have to take into account the seasonal factors. So quarters sometimes don't say much, because they can be impacted by seasonal factors. For example, in some quarters, we have more activities in our production. In some quarters, we sell more ethanol than in other quarters. So it is always important to take that into consideration. We know that this is a very important point. And we know that the market always wants to look at the quarterly figures, but it is also important to take a look at the whole year results, and many analysts already do that. And some analysts don't even work with quarterly guidance because they know that it is difficult to work like that because of seasonal factors. So all that considered, on slide 19, you can see the accounting net income and the cash net income. And by looking at the two figures, you can see the recurring view of the company's results. Our net cash earnings were 4 times as high as the previous year. And considering the first 9 months of the year, you can see that the result was 305 in comparison with 115. Now, let's talk about inventory. It was 24% higher year-on-year. Again, the finished products inventory is stronger because of the unit costs that went up because of the inflation rate, and these products include fertilizers and crop protection products, and all of them increased in price. And also, we have been working with an inventory level that is higher because of the issues related to the supply chain problems. Sometimes it takes a long time for products to get to us. Sometimes there's a shortage of some products, so we have to work with a higher inventory level. And for finished products, our inventory went from 219 to 250 million. That means that we have more products to be sold in the fourth quarter. But we should remember that we are going to have 20 tons more of organic sugar that is to be shipped still because of those delays that I mentioned. Now, I would like to explain more details about our hedge policy and our FX exposure. We have only $15 million in our total exposure. We actually had a positive exposure in FX, and now, in considering the total amount, we have $15 million. Now, about hedge, we have already hedged 87% of our crop year with a fixed average price of 160.80 in VHP. And our equivalent ethanol would be 3.10. And for 24-25 season, 26% of the production has been hedged. And it is important to mention that we are always considering sugar here. And in the table at the bottom, you can see in the third column at the left-hand corner of slide 21, you can see our total fixed TRS rather. So you can see that we should remember always that we can hedge white sugar and ethanol, and we have been taking advantage of the good prices. Now here, you can also see details about our mark-to-market activities, and most of that is non-cash. We have $134 million in sugar NDF, as you can see on slide 21 at the bottom. Now, on slide 22, you can see details about CapEx. Our expansion CapEx is in line with the previous seasons, so it is natural that we have a CapEx that is stronger this year than the previous year because we are expanding our two units. We have already invested $143 million in the expansion. of our industrial capacity this year and 10 million in expansion planting. So we had a strong CapEx, a stronger CapEx, because we are making investments and they are fully in line with our plans. Now, moving on to slide 23, you can see details about our debt. We were at 227 million, and now we have 856 in cash. And on slide 24, you can see the changes in our debt profile from March to December 2021. You can see that although our working capital was much higher with the expansion investments that are very high as well, and we also paid dividends, but you can see that our operating cash flow was able to cover all of those investments. And you can see that there was only a 28 million difference in our debts. So you can see that our strong cash generation has been able to cover the brownfield investments that we made of 1 million tons in the two units. So I believe that with that, we have covered our presentation for today. Now, I would just like to highlight some pictures that you can see on slide 31, rather. Since we had very strong rainfall in the period, you can see here that we made some progress in the installation of the new decanter and also the new molecular sieve, in which we can produce hydrous ethanol in the Jalles Machado unit, which can be also turned into anhydrous ethanol. We also started the construction of the warehouse. We have already started the earthworks there, and we are now finishing the installation of the boiler. We are already building the boiler, actually, the third party is. And you can also see a picture about the sugarcane reception area at Otávio Lage unit. So everything is going according to plan. So I believe that with that, I have covered all the main points, and this is the end of our presentation. Now I am available to take any questions you might have. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now going to begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star one. To remove your question from the queue, please press star two. The first question comes from Mr. Duarte with BTG Pactual.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Rodrigo. We have two questions. The first one is related to something that you mentioned in the beginning of the presentation, Rodrigo. You talked about rainfall in the next season, but I would like to extend that exercise a little bit, not focusing so much on rainfall, but yield. If we look at the 2021, 2022 figures, we can see that you had a very good growth in crushing despite a slight drop in the tons of sugar per hectare. And that was related in part to harvesting a larger area, which may be related to the smaller planting area. I believe that you planted 7,400 hectares in the renewal part of the field. So I would like to know if we should expect the same for the 2022-23 crop year, or if we are going to have a smaller harvested area. I just wanted to know that because I wanted to know the availability of sugarcane for crushing in 2022-23. So now the second question is about another point that you mentioned in the opening remarks about ethanol. You said that the prices were surprising over the course of the third quarter, and we know that since November, December, the ethanol prices went down a great deal, so it had to go up to match demand and supply for ethanol. But now we can see that ethanol prices are going back to the gasoline parity level. So I would like to know your perspective about this. I believe that your inventory was very strong in ethanol for the fourth quarter. So I would like to know your perspective for the fourth quarter of this crop year, but also the next crop year. I would like to know your perspective about the auto cycle and the prices dynamic. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Duarte, for your participation and for your question. Well, addressing your first question about the harvested area, I would just like to clarify that the accumulated planted area that you see on the presentation applies to the first 9 months of the crop year. We are still going to account for the planted area from January to March. We don't plant in January. We start planting on February 15th, and we do that until the end of March with a good volume of planted areas. So the renewal area has not been finished yet in terms of planting. Now, about the harvested areas for the next crop year, we had a little bit of expansion, and we are renewing the fields at the same level that we had done before, but we are also expanding a little bit more than 1,000 hectares. That's the area that we are going to have in excess of what we had in the previous season. So we are going to renew our fields and also expand in some irrigated areas. So we are going to have about 13 to 1400 hectares in expansion. And you were correct, we crushed more, although we had 2 tons less than last year because we expanded the area. And in the next crop year, we are going to expand even more to about 100 and 1,400 hectares. Now, about the ethanol prices, yes, they were surprising, and there's a little bit of an inertia as well. The entire sector, not only us, but all of you analysts and investors, you were all surprised about the parity, which came to 78 and 79%, and consumption was very strong. When it got to that level, it was stuck there, and it takes a while for the prices to be reflected at the gas stations. Just so you have an idea, just last week, the producing states are now getting to 70 to 71% in parity. And it's been a while since we saw that increase in ethanol because of the crop failures. So that caused a delay. It was R$4.70, the gross price in São Paulo, and it went down to 3.4. But now the fair price would be 67 to 68% in terms of parity. That would be the fair price. And it was still 70 to 71% in São Paulo just last week. And São Paulo is the biggest producing state. So we still have a little bit to go until we get to the fair price.
We believe that the levels that we have currently are not to be maintained because now we are getting closer to the end of the crop year. We are going to start a new crop year. Consumption in February and March will be over 1.4 billion liters. I believe that is going to lead the market to have a higher inventory than the normal level, which would be 1 billion. We should not see a strong change over the next 2 months until we finish the crop year. We don't believe we're going to see a big variation. Now, our ethanol inventory should be in line with the previous crop year or a little bit higher. We are not going to sell if it doesn't make sense, since the next crop year will lean more towards sugar. Consumption of ethanol will have to be limited so that we can have ethanol for the entire crop year. We expect to see a recovery in ethanol in the next crop year. I would also like to talk about sugar. We believe that we are going to be about 16.7 cents per pound. We should also consider the amount that we have in India, which is about 20 cents per pound. I believe that we are going to fluctuate between those two levels. We don't think we are going to exceed the amount that is interesting for India to export, which is 20 cents per pound.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you very much, Rodrigo.
The next question comes from Mr. Palhares with Bank of America.
Good afternoon, Rodrigo. Thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. I would like to know about your hedge strategy. We can see that you are making progress with a hedge for the 24-25 season. I would like to know your perspective about hedge coverage. When we look at the percentage of TRS that is hedged for this crop year, I would like to know how much of it is related to expansion, since you said that you are going to expand 1,400 hectares more. I would like to know about your hedge policy in relation to that expansion. Also about ethanol inventories. When we look at your position, as Duarte said in the previous question, I would like to know how much of that is related to hydrous ethanol and anhydrous ethanol, and how much of that inventory is going to be used in the fourth quarter.
Thank you very much, Guilherme, for your question and your participation. Now, answering your first question about hedge. Yes, we are considering the expansion, and we should remember that we are going to grow in area with 1,400 hectares of harvested areas, and that can change a little bit, but it is not going to be too different from that. It accounts for a little bit more production. You can see that we decreased our hedge coverage in percentage terms, and we are increasing the amount that we are considering for contingency purposes. For example, in this season, many mills suffered with crop failures, and they were they were shorter than they had sold. But we are considering the expanded area in that number, in those numbers. And considering the expansion, we can see that the percentage is 35% of our total sugar. And also, out of the total sugar, we are going to see an increase in organic sugar. So since we are increasing the organic areas, although there is an increase in yield, we can see a reduction in the share of conventional sugar because organic sugar is going to take up a little bit more of share of total sugar. Now, about inventories, we are using a good part of anhydrous ethanol that we produce for sanitizers. So part of the anhydrous inventory is going to be used for sanitizers. And I can give you the correct amounts, the correct volumes for the past quarters. And until the end of our call here, I am going to get those numbers for you, but on average, we are using 40 million liters for the entire crop year. But I'm going to get the correct numbers for you. And since this is constant, we can see that there is a proportional amount in each quarter. So since it is more constant, the only thing that changes about sanitizers is a crisis such as the one that we had with the COVID-19 pandemic that made consumption of sanitizers go up. But on average, it is constant. But I am going to get the exact numbers for you about the consumption of the anhydrous ethanol, just so you can do the math and find an estimate for sanitizers. But when we look at the anhydrous inventory for this year in comparison with last year, you can see that the inventory doubled. But it's not really that. It's not that it doubled. It's just that last year we had a limitation on the production of anhydrous ethanol, which gives us a higher margin. And now with the molecular sieve, as I showed you in the presentation, which was finished in October, with that new equipment, we can turn the hydrous ethanol into anhydrous ethanol because anhydrous had better prices. So our strategy was to produce as much anhydrous ethanol as possible. So it was our strategy. And part of that is going to be used in the production of sanitizers, and the rest will be sold. Okay, thank you very much. That was very clear. The next question comes from Mr. Barra with Citibank.
Hello, Rodrigo. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I have three questions, actually. The first one is related to M&A transactions. You said in previous calls as well that you expect to have an M&A deal in the third quarter, and there was an increase since in the commodity prices and the land prices. And I know this is a sensitive topic, but if you could talk a little bit about the discussions and negotiations in relation to prices and return. And also, if there was an increase in return on investment on your side, if you could talk about the details about the M&A transactions, that would be very helpful. Now, secondly, about the price policies, we have seen many discussions in the Congress about potential tax benefits, ICMS, the PIS, and the COFINS tax.
So, from your perspective, how have you been organizing yourselves, and what's your perspective about that? If those changes happen, what would be the impact on you? And also about CapEx, as you showed in the presentation, if we exclude the agricultural partnerships, there was an increase of almost 16% in the costs. And the fertilizers price went up, and diesel as well. So for the next crop year, 22-23, how much of that has been considered in your current CapEx? And if we can expect an even more significant increase, or if you think you have already absorbed all of those impacts in this crop year. So these are my three questions. Thank you. Thank you very much, Gabriel, for your questions. I'm not going to answer them in the same sequence. I'm going to leave M&A for last. So, answering your question about prices. We believe that the price policy is really a strategy related to the upcoming elections. The producing states really rely on taxes. The biggest share of the tax revenue of those states comes exactly from the fuel ICMS tax. So they need that for their budgets. And we know that there is a lot of fiscal pressure on the federal government. So if there were any tax benefits, we believe that it would be temporary because of the elections. We know that the high inflation rates have a major impact on elections. That is very important to voters. So we don't believe that will be sustainable. And it actually lost momentum. The reduction in the ICMS tax on ethanol and gasoline really decreased in momentum, and it would decrease competitiveness of ethanol. We would have to lower prices to be able to keep our gasoline parity. So it would be negative for the section, and that would have a limited impact, really. And I believe that we did the math here. We estimated that it would be 15 to 20 cents. But we can review that calculation and send you the updated amounts. But we know that this movement lost momentum. And the discussions now are more focused on the diesel and gas. I believe that they're not focusing so much on gasoline anymore. So it is losing momentum. And the ICMS tax, which is the most significant portion of tax revenues from fuels, and it goes from 25 to 32 or 33%, depending on the state. And we know that the states really depend on that to sustain their budgets. So we don't think there will be a change. And this change would actually encourage the production of fossil fuels. So it will really go the opposite way of the global trend. Now, your question about CapEx was very good. The expansion CapEx, and we should draw a line here between the expansion CapEx and also the increase of 1 million tons in the two units. We had already significantly increased our CapEx, including with steel, which has a major impact. So what we have now is that our CapEx is in line with what we said when we released our guidance. We are maintaining our CapEx guidance for expansion. If we exclude the partnerships, the increase in cost was 13%, if I'm not mistaken. Let me take a look at the presentation again. It was 13.9%. You said 16, but 16 is actually considering including the agricultural partnerships. We are still going to have increase in costs for the next season. We do not have a guidance for that yet, but we know that we are going to have increases in personnel costs, and that is the main cost in the company. The inflation rate was over 10% last year, so I believe that we are going to see that same increase in our costs, in our personnel costs, and that is a major expense line for the company. Also fertilizers. Fertilizers increased in price over the season. If we maintain the current prices, the average price will be higher than it was in the previous crop season. Actually, this one, which is ending now, 21-22 crop year. So we expect to have a higher average CapEx for the 22-23 crop year in comparison with 21-22, considering the recurring CapEx and biological CapEx. We believe that we are going to have a higher level. I'm not going to give you any guidance. We are still working on our plan. Also, the costs of harvest, transshipment, and transport, which is also significant. We believe that it is going to be higher than the current season. Lastly, about M&A transactions. Well, it's difficult to give you many details because these are ongoing negotiations, but we are making good progress. We provided you with some details in the past calls. So we believe we're going to be able to maintain those levels that we mentioned before because they are fair return levels that we expect in the sector. So rest assured that the company is not going to engage in any deals that can bring a different return than expected. Then it would be preferable not to do that. We are only engaging in those deals because it makes sense in terms of gaining scale and return on investment. And also to open a new unit that can drive growth for the company. Thank you, Rodrigo. Thank you very much. The next question comes from Mr. Audi with Santander. Hello, Rodrigo. How are you? I have three brief questions. The first one is about mix. Considering what you said about your expectations about the prices of ethanol and sugar, if you could please tell us a little bit more about the impact that that can have on the price of ethanol, that would be great. And also about the cost inflation. Considering the table that you included in the presentation, and it was a great inclusion because it really helps us understand the real impact of inflation. Do you think that you are going to see an impact on your EBITDA margin? And congratulations on the great margin, 80%. Do you think it would be feasible to keep the same EBITDA margin levels considering the increase in costs? And my next question is about capital allocation. If you continue to move forward with your M&A transactions and organic growth as well, And also considering the cash generation, which should be strong because of the high ethanol and sugar prices. I would like to know exactly how you are going to use the company's capital. Do you think it might be necessary to decrease that level? And also in relation to the distribution of dividends. So I would like to know how you would rank the different uses of capital and how you are going to allocate the company's capital. That would be great. Thank you very much for your question. Well, in the current crop year, we only invested part of our CapEx. At the Otávio Lage unit, we are going to install a new boiler, which is going to increase crushing, but it is only going to be finished in the 23 crushing crop year, rather. In 2022, we are not going to have that boiler finished. And in the scenario of the maximum sugar production, since we are going to produce as much as possible, we believe that we are going to reach 47. I believe that that is going to be the level of sugar. It should be 45 to 49. So we will have to work in a very tough scenario. We would be able to increase the amount of ethanol if you wanted to lean more towards ethanol. But I believe that the maximum sugar should be between 45 and 49. Now, in relation to the cost increase, in the next crop year, we believe that we are going to have some good prices. The average prices will start off at a very high level. Although there was a recent drop in the ethanol prices, but still the baseline level is higher than it was in the previous season. So if we consider that higher level, we are going to have a higher revenue as well. The taxes will be higher, but the revenues are going to be higher as well. So the margin should be at a good level. We are optimistic about that. Another point that contributes to high margins is to have a good volume of our capacity being used at the mills. And from what we are seeing right now, and of course, we should remember that we still have another 3 months of rain coming ahead of us. But we believe that we are going to have a good crop year. Now, about capital allocation. I believe that we are not going to be leveraged at any moment. Our brownfield investment is actually going to be covered by the company's cash generation. Our cash generation is covering almost all the volume that we are having this year. And with the next season, as you asked, in the next crop season, we are going to have good margins and good results. So, despite M&A transactions, our leverage level shouldn't exceed 1x the EBITDA, 1x. Of course, it all depends on the M&A transactions, which we cannot give you much detail about, but we are not going to have any leverage level higher than we believe to be interesting for us. We would still have 25% and not 40% in relation to dividends when our debt EBIT level is below 2x, and we are in the process of investments right now, and we have an M&A transaction in our pipeline. Our idea is not to have a leverage level that is 2x or 3x our EBIT, which we believe to be the ideal level. I'm talking about EBIT, right? If we consider EBITDA, it would be less than half that, of that. It would be half of that level on average.
Thank you. Now, I have a follow-up question about the brownfield expansion. I would like to know more about the schedule. Are you on track with the expected schedule?
Well, our investment will have an impact on a little bit more of 1,000 hectares. For next year, we are going to expand to a larger area, about 3,400-3,600 hectares for the next crop year. In the 2024 season, we would reach the 6.3 million. Everything is going according to plan in terms of the industrial capacity and also the land expansion. Many people were concerned about the high grain prices and the price of land, and I believe that someone asked a question about land prices, and I did not answer that question. I apologize. We were able to expand this year, and we are on track to expand more next year. If we consider our agricultural and industrial expansions, everything is going according to our expectations on both fronts.
Okay, thank you very much. The next question comes from Mr. Alencar with XP.
Good afternoon, Rodrigo, and congratulations on the 3Q results. It was a very strong quarter. My question is focused on organic sugar. Considering the delays in the contracts, as you mentioned in the previous calls, and considering that organic sugar has a different negotiation profile, if you could give us more color about your expectations for this year, considering the higher volume to be shipped, and we would like to know if you want to continue doing that, paying for freight prices since we have supply chain issues still, or if you are already considering that in the organic sugar negotiations since you are expecting to sell more in volume. I would like to know more details about organic sugar. A second question, if you could give us more color about the sugarcane activity in the sector. We know that you suffered less with weather conditions due to the location of your units and irrigation. Is there an expectation for the sector to recover in yield for the next crop year? Some players have said that they're going to grow by 5%, but the average of the market would be negative. If you could give us more color on your productivity, that would be great.
Thank you very much for your question and your participation, Leonardo. Now, about organic sugar.
We actually shipped the product to the consumer, and we did that to really unlock our operations here, since there's a shortage of containers and since many operations are being delayed or canceled. We decided to do that ourselves, but that causes an impact on the price of product. So we were not considering any additional cost that was not recovered through the price changes. What we can see about the freight levels is that the prices are still high, but we are all adjusting to this new modus operandi, trying to find alternatives. I'm not saying it's easy. We are not back to where we used to be, but we have talked to our commercial team here, and they are confident that until June, we will be able to ship the entire volume. It's a pity, really, because we could be improving the prices of sugar because sugar is more expensive now for customers, for clients, because we have to include the freight prices. And for example, if the old prices were 1500 and now they are 9500, so it's a difference of 8,000 reals or dollars rather. That is too big a change. It's too big an additional cost for customers. And they could be buying more sugar with that amount. But our prices remain stable. We are not seeing an increase in prices at this moment, no. And the question about yields. Well, we know that rainfall is very good in the Center-South region, but we know that many fields struggled with frosts last year. And we believe that it is likely that we are going to see an increase of 6% going from 525 to 560 million tons. That's what we have been seeing in the industry. And in many places, the sugarcane field was in such a poor shape that the units that have more capital will have to renew their fields, and that might lead to a reduction in the volume of sugarcane. So some people are saying that the increase is going to be higher than that, but for the time being, we don't believe that we're going to see surpluses exceeding 560 million tons. Because there was a lot of stress in the previous crop year. Okay, thank you very much, Rodrigo. The next question comes from the webcast platform from Mr. Lana with Vinci. With the current ethanol prices and the sharp drop, are you considering exporting ethanol as a remuneration source? Do you even have that possibility? Thank you very much for your question. The answer is no. We are very far from the port, so exporting ethanol is not an alternative. I believe that when that is a feasible possibility, the units that are closer to the port are going to take that opportunity. We don't think it would be feasible for us to export ethanol from where we are located.
I would like to add a comment to address Gabriel Poliari's question about our annual consumption of anhydrous ethanol for the production of sanitizers. It is about 35 to 40 million liters, as I said earlier. So I would just like to confirm that number. The next question comes from Mr. Rosso. Good afternoon. Considering the delays of shipments of sugar, organic sugar, due to issues that are not related to Jalles Machado, and since you are going to ship the sold inventory by June 2022, what is your strategy to sell and store organic sugar that is going to be produced over the course of the next crop year? Thank you very much. That is a good question. We are going to start the new organic sugar crop in mid-May or mid-June. So by June, we are only going to sell organic sugar and not produce more, since our sugar warehouses are not at the highest levels. We usually reach the highest levels in October and November. This is where our warehouses are at their fullest, so we're not going to have any problems about that. By the time we receive the new harvest, we will have sold almost 100% of the current inventory, so we are not going to have any problems in terms of warehousing, and we are going to start the new season with a very low level of inventory or even no inventory from the current crop year. Although the crop year starts in April, our organic crop year starts a little bit later than that. So we sell the organic crop yields in June or July. So that's why we always have inventory after March 31st. We always have some inventory of organic sugar to be delivered in May or June. But this year, that amount, that volume is going to be a little bit higher than normal because of the delayed shipments. Thank you very much, Diogo. I hope my answer was clear. The next question comes from Mr. Boca. Do you expect to expand the organic sugarcane field? Is there any surplus of vinasse that can be used for fertilization and irrigation? And what should be the impact of the expansions on the carbon indicators? Thank you very much for your questions, Henrique. About the organic field expansion, yes, we do have a plan, a 10-year plan. So every year we are going to grow and expand our organic field. It is going to reach 23,000 hectares. So yes, we are expanding in the organic fields. About vinasse, we made all investments to reach almost 70% of our areas in which we can use vinasse, considering the location of where we have vinasse stored. We can expand that area, but we would have to invest in infrastructure. In our vinasse system and pipelines, and we are studying how feasible that would be. And by doing that, we would be able to expand that area even further. I believe that you had a third question as well. If you could repeat the question, please. What would be the impact of the expansion on carbon indicators?
Well, we are always paying attention to decarbonization, and we are also paying attention on biogas. We are going to use equipment and tractors and trucks that use biogas, and we believe that that is a continuous movement, and we would be able to replace diesel with biomethane. So, yes, we can increase our decarbonization movement at Jalles Machado. And these are just some examples. We can use more vinasse. We can use also biomethane to replace diesel. And we can also expand the organic fields. We don't have any more questions, so I would like to turn it over to Mr. Rodrigo for his final remarks. Thank you all very much for your participation. You all submitted very interesting questions. For example, Tiago, Gabriel, Felipe, and Christian, Enrique, Leonardo, all of you sent very good questions. Thank you very much for your interest in our company. We are very happy about the year we have had so far and about the past quarter. And see you in our next call. And our next call, we are going to close the year and the season. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good day. That concludes Jalles Machado's conference call for today. Thank you very much for your participation and have a good day. Bye-bye.